dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, just, 17 and a half miles east of Branson, Missouri. We've been talking about, and I've been reading from, my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days, and My Call to Help the Prayers. We're almost to the end of the book now. We've been reading it through several radio broadcasts. But now we're talking about end of days. Of course, if you're going to be praying, you need to be praying for Israel and Jerusalem. And we're talking about why do we pray for Jerusalem? And we're going to go back to what the Lord said. We pray for Jerusalem because the Lord told us to. Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. He told us that we are to pray. And he told us specifically what we're to pray for, the peace of Jerusalem. Many lovers of Israel pray for the peace of Jerusalem without realizing what the Lord means when he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The original Hebrew text says to pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. Shalom does not mean the absence of war. When many people pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they think they're praying for the absence of war. There's going to be war there. The Messiah comes and puts his feet down on the earth during a great war, one of the Gog Magog wars. So, it can't mean that, or people will be praying even against that last, when the Antichrist circles Jerusalem and Jesus comes and puts his feet down. It can't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It means wholeness, W-H-O-L-E. In the Hebrew language, it grows from roots, actually from only about 240 roots. All the Hebrew language grows. You can imagine a wagon wheel, and in the center of the hub of that wagon wheel is a three-letter root. It is a verb. The root of every word in the Hebrew language is a verb. It's a verb in the fact that he's whole. He made it whole. And so even though shalom comes from a root word meaning whole, W-H-O-L-E, this is very technical, but we'll just say it like this. It's from a root that means whole, W-H-O-L-E. Shalom is the word peace, translated peace in the Bible, but it comes from a root word shalem, which means whole. Imagine shalem, whole, at the middle of a wagon wheel. And then one of the spokes growing out from that has the sound of an O added to shalem, and it becomes shalom. Therefore, shalom means the peace that comes because you're whole. In the Bible, there's a form of this word that says, don't let a man work and you don't pay him. In other words, if a man works for you, you have to pay him to make him whole, W-H-O-L-E. And to pay is the word salem. So these all come from the same family, the same root. When the Bible says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it means to pray for the wholeness of Jerusalem. It's not right that Jerusalem be divided. It's not right that the United States of America and Britain and some other allies decided, even during George Bush's presidency, they came up with something called the roadmap to peace. Well, that's their idea of peace. God's idea is you don't divide Jerusalem. So when you're praying for Jerusalem, you're praying for the shalom of Jerusalem, you're praying that Jerusalem not be divided, even in the earth. But there is a higher meaning. It concerns a higher Jerusalem. There is a heavenly Jerusalem. And there is an earthly Jerusalem. When I began going to Israel in the early 1980s, I was amazed at how aware the Jews are of the heavenly Jerusalem. In shops everywhere, I saw paintings of both cities, the heavenly Jerusalem painted just above the earthly. The Hebrew name for the heavenly Jerusalem is Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala, Jerusalem on high. Many Jews hold it in their consciousness, and they believe that it parallels the earthly Jerusalem, which they call Yerushalayim Shel Mata, Jerusalem that is below. Imagine, they call the name Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala, Jerusalem above, and then they call earthly Jerusalem Yerushalayim Shel Mata, Jerusalem that is below. It's in their thinking. They think of it all the time. There's a Jerusalem above, there's a Jerusalem below. That surprised me, that the Jews were so conscious of this. For I found more in the New Testament about Jerusalem that is above than in the Old. And yet I saw that its reality was more in the minds of Israel's Jews than in the thinking of Christians. One day I went into one of the four oldest synagogues in Jerusalem, and there, just above the ark which holds the Torah scrolls, heavenly Jerusalem was painted as a menorah, a seven-branch lampstand, in the clouds above earthly Jerusalem. This symbolized that light comes from Jerusalem on high to Jerusalem below. The friendly white-bearded rabbi was from New York, so I asked him how they knew so much about Jerusalem on high. "Moses told us," he said. "He went there." Well, it dawned on me. If someone could go there now, surely Moses in all those days with God did ascend the heavenly mount. I asked the rabbi if he could show me in the scriptures. He gave me one of the Psalms of Ascent, the songs they sang as they went up to Jerusalem during the three feasts of the legs where they went to Jerusalem. It is Psalm 122:3. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. This rabbi then expounded on the upper and lower cities being builded together. Young's literal translation shows this very well. Young's literal translation, Psalm 122:3. Jerusalem, the builded one, is as a city that is joined to itself together. So you see the picture? When you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for the no division between upper Jerusalem and lower Jerusalem. That's how it's going to be. When Jerusalem that's above comes down over earthly Jerusalem, there will be passageway between earthly Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. It'll be like a satellite, a country or city hanging over the earth. I've learned so much from a man, David Barron. After becoming a Christian, he was a prolific teacher and author. I so enjoy studying after him because his knowledge of the original Hebrew sheds much light on the ancient scriptures. His quote below, and the Jewish view that earthly Jerusalem mirrors heavenly Jerusalem, helped me see more clearly the joining of the two. And I quote David Barron. "And the joy and blessedness of returned and redeemed Israel in literal Zion will be a type and reflection also of the even fuller joy and greater blessedness of the ransomed of the Lord out of every nation and people and tongue, the church, which will then be safely gathered unto him in the heavenly Zion, the Jerusalem that is above, of which the literal Jerusalem will, during the millennial period, be, as it were, the earthly vestibule." My mini book, Jerusalem Above and Below, goes into the subject in more detail. However, I will point out here another interesting fact. When Jewish Israelis pronounce the name of the city, they say Yerushalayim. The number two in Hebrew is Shtaim. But you don't need to say Shtaim before items that come in pairs. You simply put the double ending on the word itself. For instance, notice the dual ending to these words, which come in twos. Mishkafaim, eyeglasses. Na'alaim, shoes. Yadaim, hands. Yerushalayim has a dual ending, indicating there are two. Therefore, when we pray for the shalom or the peace of Jerusalem, we are praying for its wholeness. We are praying for the earthly city to remain the undivided and eternal capital of Israel, And we are praying for the coming together of the upper and lower cities in God's wonderful plan, that they shall be, quote, builded together. What shall the duration of our praying be? Isaiah 62, 1 through 4 is the Messiah's intercession for Israel and Jerusalem. Then follows the fact that the Lord has set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem to join in that intercession. Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. My King James Bible is a reference Bible. A marginal note to the phrase, ye that make mention of the Lord, gives the literal Hebrew as, quote, you who are the Lord's remembrancers. Another marginal reference notes that the word translated rest in Hebrews 7 is literally silence. Again, Young's is more accurate. The Young's literal translation. On thy walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All the day and all the night, continually they are not silent. O ye remembrances of Jehovah, keep not silence for yourselves, and give not silence to him, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. David Barron says that the remembrancers of Jehovah are those who remind him of what is yet to be done, of what I still am and what I may be expected to do. In other words, these remembrancers are to bring up God's word regarding his promises for Jerusalem. These watchmen are to give him no silence. Their uttering of his word is to be declared into the earth continually, and thereby he can clothe the proclaimed prophecies with fulfillment. Such prayers are to be made until his promises are fully fulfilled, until he has established Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Praying the mystery of Israel. One of the mysteries of God that the New Testament identifies is the mystery of Israel. Even with all the above, when people ask me how to pray for Israel, I usually tell them that the best way is to pray in tongues. My advice is based on these scriptures. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In my book, I go into much detail about praying in tongues. And you can get your very own copy of this brand new book by just calling us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can go online to billybrim.org. Just remember how to spell it, BILLYEBRIM.ORG. You can write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Hannah's going to be here tomorrow to read the last chapter in the book. Remember the book's title, How You Can Pray in the End of Days? You have to have a relationship with God. And I couldn't think of anyone better than Hannah to write that chapter. Shalom.